As the financial meltdown unfolded in 2008, hundreds of Wall Street bankers and traders were fired. And in today's economy, new jobs in the field remain hard to find, which is why some of those laid-off bankers and traders have turned to driving New York City taxi cabs to make ends meet and to try to find a new job on Wall Street. Joining me now are Michael Grinbaum, a transportation reporter for the Metro Desk for the New York Times, whose article, Eyes Once on the Ticker, are now on the meter, which appeared in the October 14th edition of the paper, and also Scott Curtis, who spent 25 years on Wall Street and now drives a cab. I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show today. Hi.
Hello.
Scott, how long had you worked on Wall Street? I said 25 years, so I'm answering my own question.
That's just about right, 25 years.
Were you one of the people who got big bonuses?
I actually was a commission trader. So my bonus was up to how my performance.
And how did you wind up driving a cab?
I stopped trading in 2008 when the whole financial meltdown occurred. I took a couple of years off, tried to regroup, and I decided it was about time to start doing something. So I moved up from Miami. I figured I'm going to hang a sign on my cab, advertise myself, get a little history on myself, and drive a cab, and hopefully somebody would jump in my cab and say, I need you.
So there's a sign in the back. Instead of that television screen that is so annoying, you have...
You actually get both. You get the annoying television and the sign.
And what does the sign say?
Basically that due to the current economic conditions, I'm now driving a taxi. Explains that what I'm looking for to be, you know, execution trader for a hedge fund, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me ask you a tough question. Two people are hailing a cab. One looks like might be somebody who has a Wall Street connection. The other just looks like somebody who needs a cab, maybe more desperate, in fact. Which one do you stop for?
I actually go to the first person I see.
Ah, okay. And how often do people ask to look at your resume after they see the sign?
I do an average of about 28 trips a night. I would say 10 of them.
And you've gotten how many interviews?
I've had 3 interviews thus far.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a very, very, very difficult environment out there. So far, no job.
It's got to be one of the more unorthodox job searches. Do you end up talking to your fares a lot to see if they might be able to help in your search?
Absolutely. If I have 28 fares, I probably speak to 28 people.
And are you dressed differently than most cab drivers?
You know,
I mean, are you ready to jump out to park the cab and go to an interview?
No. Shirt, sweater, jeans.
Michael, how did you find these traders turned cabbies?
It was a rainy Saturday night. I was trying to get a cab downtown. Went out on the street. Like a yellow oasis, Scott Curtis's cab appeared. I got in the back seat, and I saw that sign staring back at me, asking me about my resume.
You have any idea of how many former Wall Street bankers and traders are driving cabs now?
Well, it's very tough to say. The city does not keep track of work backgrounds of its drivers. But, I met at least 3 others just at Scott's garage in the South Bronx alone. And we ran a few numbers and found that since the stock market began to decline in 2007, there's about 10% more licensed cabbies in the city, or it's grown by that much, which suggests that, you know, more people seem to be going into the trade.
A woman you interviewed for this story is living in her Upper East Side condo and didn't want to reveal her name in case they might consider throwing her out of the building because she's unemployed. Is driving a cab one of the ways that these former bankers and brokers can hang on to their homes and their cars and pay for the children's tuition?
Well, for some of them, they're making it work. Some of the advantages of cab driving is that it's all cash wages. A lot of them are bringing some of their own financial knowledge to bear in their new market. So one guy I talked to, a lot of cabbies go to the meatpacking district at night to get fares. You know, he said, well, there's too much supply there. It's not going to work for me. But, you know, as a banker, I know that a lot of guys on 6th Avenue in Midtown are coming out around 9 or 10 o'clock, and a lot of other cabbies don't know that. And he kind of exploited that's kind of an inefficiency he saw. And so now he gets more fares by going to 6th Avenue.
Because that's when the Asian traders are coming out.
Exactly.
Is that why driving a cab appealed to you, Scott?
Driving a cab appealed to me mostly because I thought that was the best way for me to market myself. There's a million people on Monster.com, Jobs.com. They're getting inundated with resumes all day. So now, you know, I'm driving around, and all I need is that one guy to get in my cab and say, hey, I'm looking for a guy like this.
When I was years ago, I was told by a cab driver that he kept college textbooks on the seat next to him to improve his tips. Do you get better tips, do you think, because people feel sorry for a former Wall Street banker?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the guys from Wall Street who've gotten in my cab have been more than generous.
what happens when you pass Zuccotti Park in your cab? Do you support the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators?
Not at all. Not at all.
Michael, did you talk to some of the other cab drivers about their thoughts on Occupy Wall Street?
No. Unfortunately, the movement hadn't picked up enough traction when I was actually reporting out the story, so I didn't get a chance to chat about it too much.
Mm-hmm. But, Scott, you don't support it even though you've, to some degree, been screwed by Wall Street.
I don't blame my situation on Wall Street. Mine was more like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's how I made all my money, and unfortunately, that's how I got taken on and spanked. I just feel like there are people down there are looking. If you really want a job, go out and get one. Don't sit there and ask. Say, give me one.
So we talked about going to the areas where people might actually. Who are likely to be able to help you might be located. What about some of the other things when you're driving a cab? Are there are rainy days like we're going to have later better than the clear ones?
Rain is great for the job. We love rain.
I have always wondered why cab drivers drive down certain streets and not others. They all seem to be on Park Avenue in Manhattan. They all seem to be on Clinton Street in Brooklyn. You would think that after a while they'd realize that there are 100 cabs going down the street, and maybe if they went to some street where there are no cabs, that they'd be more likely to pick up a fare.
Clinton and Brooklyn is a very it's where a lot of restaurants, bars are, and a lot of people there are also looking to come into the city.
Uh-huh. So you know if you go down Clinton or some others, there are similar streets in other areas
right.
That people who are looking for cabs know
right.
That
so
cabs go down there.
If I get a fare into Brooklyn, I'll usually go to Clinton to get a fare back so I don't go back empty.
Michael, you said it's hard to tell whether many people who were laid off during the economic downturn are driving cabs. But with more layoffs by the Wall Street banks and firms expected in the coming year, you think that we're going to have a glut of taxi cabs in New York?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I talked to a few people who run there's a handful of taxi academies in the city where people go to get trained to be a driver. And, you know, they all say it's cyclical. Every time there's a big wave of layoffs on Wall Street, they get laid off stockbrokers coming into their classes.
Was it that way in 1987 when we had another economic downturn?
That's exactly what I've been told by people who were teaching classes back then. And I was just going to say on your last question about the streets, you know, one guy I talked to who grew up in Queens and is, you know, he was an accountant and now he's driving a cab, you know, he said, you know, he's one of the few cab drivers who he feels actually knows his way around the streets out in the outer boroughs. And he thinks that helps him get better fares.
One cabbie said that Wednesdays and Saturdays are bad because of the craziness of the theater matinees. But don't you also pick up a lot of fares on those days?
I drive nights. I get the my car at 5 p.m. and I can keep it till 5 a.m. Saturday night is my best night.
We actually did a study, though, last year with the Department of Transportation looking at the worst traffic days in the city. And Wednesdays are always the worst. When you have more people in, the streets are more congested.
Why Wednesdays? I would have thought Friday when people are going home.
The theater matinees had a lot to do with it, was the surmisal of the traffic analysts. And I think, now, Scott, tell me if I'm wrong, but, a lot of folks, you might be able to get more fares, but if you're stuck crawling around through Midtown for 20 minutes on a fare that would otherwise take you 10 minutes, you're going to end up losing business over the day. Is that right?
Well, to answer your question, do I want to sit in traffic? No. But as long as somebody's in my back seat, I'm happy.
And you really drive 12 hours a
No,
night?
I never do. I usually, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I drive till 2. The rest of the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I drive till about 3:30.
There's a new initiative by the Taxi and Limousine Commission to get taxi drivers to stop honking their horns as much as they do. Do you have any thought into why cabbies honk so much? Is it because they're doing a show for the people in the back seat that they have their best interests at heart?
I really believe that the majority of the cab drivers in Manhattan shouldn't be on the street. And so you got to be really, really careful and honk at them to, you know, so you don't get killed.
It's really a matter of just saying, hey, watch out. Driving recklessly.
Yes.
Well, do you think that Wall Streeters drive better than the guys who are just professional taxi cab drivers?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think I'm a pretty good taxi driver. Michael can answer that question.
Well, a lot of drivers pride themselves on being professional drivers. And, I did cell phone use in cabs. You know, a lot of drivers are upset that they're banned from using the headsets.
But I'm not. As a rider, I'm not.
Few riders are sympathetic to that plight. One of the arguments they'll use is that we're on the streets 12 hours a day and we can drive better than others.
Well, there is also, there's been a change. There was a time when people became cab drivers for a profession, those old-time cab drivers. Now the feeling is that most cab drivers are driving cabs because they are hoping to do something else. It's a transitional job.
It's a much more brutal environment for cab drivers, I think, in the last 20 years. You know, it's a system now where you start the day in the red, you have to pay a lease to get the cab out. The driver pool is primarily immigrants at this point.
And the alternative is two taxicab medallions recently sold for $1 million each, which is an increase of 42% since August. Is that because the demand has gotten higher? Do you think it's a good investment, Scott?
At this point, Michael and I were just discussing it. I don't think it is because they're trying to change a law now where they are going to add 14,000 more black cars to be in the outer boroughs. And with that, they're going to auction off another 1,500 yellow cab medallions. And that's going to totally saturate the market. So I was just discussing with Michael that why would anybody pay $1 million right now before they find out the result of the law?
And I'll say the flip side to that is that the taxi commission has been arguing that it won't be a huge decrease in value, and they've actually pointed to this $1 million transaction as evidence that people are still willing to put up a lot of money for medallions, even though this law may go into effect next year.
Now, has the change affected the perspective of these traders turned cabbies? They used to ride in the back seat. Now they're driving. That Upper East Side woman who we talked about earlier is now driving a cab told you, I always thought cab drivers were idiots. I still do.
You know, it's funny about Janet. She told me that when she went back to the office, there'd be some things she'd miss about the job. You know, she likes being outdoors during the day. She said when she worked at J.P. Morgan, she was in the windowless office, 12 hours a day. And she said, too, she didn't have a client-facing job. She was kind of on a trading desk. Today, she talks to people all day. She chats with them. And so there were some elements of the job that she said she might miss.
Is that true for you as well, Scott?
I personally won't miss it. It's a very, very tiring job. I've enjoyed meeting, lots of people. I've met, several celebrities, and it's exciting at times.
But it's a stress job. The other job you had was a stress job as well.
It's not the stress. It's the hours. And sitting in one position for 9 to 10 hours a day, it's not a normal function.
But a lot of traders just sit in front of a computer for 9 to 10 hours a day.
Yeah, but we enjoy that.
Michael, do you know if any of these former bankers and traders have been able to find a job by driving cabs?
The ones I've spoken to have not had luck so far. I know Scott's still looking. I called up a guy who did something similar in 2008. He was a recent MBA graduate and couldn't find an entry level job. And he'd gotten a bit of someone had written about him back then. I called him up again. He's in Philadelphia. He's not driving.
He's in nursing.
He's in nursing. He's still hasn't had luck. So it's a really tough market out there.
We have a link to your article on our show page at WNYC.org. Did you hear from a lot of cab drivers after the article appeared?
I got a lot of feedback from it. A lot of readers were fascinated by it. I got a note from a guy who said back in 1971, he had a couple master's degrees, and he started driving a cab, and he put his resume in the back seat, and he sent me an old Wall Street Journal clip from that era where they mentioned him. It was a piece about unorthodox job hunts, and they'd written a little paragraph about his little technique back then. And he said he got an interview with the CEO of a big advertising agency on Madison Avenue. So it certainly brought back a lot of memories for people.
Well, Scott, if you don't get a job as a result of this, are you going to just keep on driving cabs?
I started driving a cab in February, and I told myself I had to give it a year. And after a year's time, it's going to be time to maybe think about going another direction.
Well, does it pay the bills?
It helps. It helps. I mean, the money's good, but I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is a lot better.
I've heard that from other people as well. Scott Curtis spent 25 years on Wall Street. He's now driving a cab, and he's one of the people who Michael Grimbaum has written about in his article for the New York Times. Eyes once on the ticker are now on the meter. It appeared in the October 14th edition of the paper. And as I said, we have a link to it on our show page at wnyc.org. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.